We're joined right now by a draft pick for the Denver Nuggets. He was the 14th selection in Thursday's draft. He was the 2017 USA Today Player of the Year, the 2017 Naismith Prep Player of the Year, a high school All-American. Denver was 46-36 last season, and that's where he begins his pro career. Michael Porter Jr. is my guest. Michael, it is really nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing really good, man. How are you?
Doing great. Michael, nice to hear your voice. Let me first ask you, what was that moment like when you heard your name called and you knew finally where you were going to live, where you were going to work, and that you were going to be a member of the Denver Nuggets?
It was a surreal moment. You know, it's a moment I've been dreaming for ever since I was a little kid. So, you know, Denver wasn't the place I expected to be, drafted by. But when I heard my name and I figured I'd be living in Denver, I was so excited. I've been here a couple of times, and I love the city, and it feels like the perfect place for me.
Michael Porter Jr., my guest. All right, so you'll get a better sense once you get there and you see what it's like, but you're going to join a Nuggets team that has improved every single season that Michael Malone has been in charge and just missed making the postseason last year. So how excited are you about the future of this team and how good it might be?
I think it's amazing. I think we have great pieces, and I think this young team is going to continue to get better. I feel like I fit perfectly with this team because, you know, they love to score. They love to get up and down. And they got some great guards, and they got a great center, you know. I feel like I fit in perfect, and it's a really unselfish group of guys, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
Denver Nugget Michael Porter Jr. joins us. Now, going into the draft, there was talk that you might be going very early, and then you had to wait it out for a bit. It can be really stressful and really uncomfortable, but from where I'm sitting, it seemed like you handled that very, very well. What were you thinking and feeling as teams chose other players instead of you?
Honestly, I got a great agent, so I knew the ballpark. The week before, before I had that little hip spasm, the team's at the very top of the draft told me I was their guy. So I was going to go very early, and I knew that. And then I had the hip stuff, and some of the teams at the very top got a little scared. Then, you know, once one team gets a little scared, then a lot of them do. So my agent kind of knew in the ballpark where I was going. And so I wasn't very surprised. But at the same time, you know, It's definitely stressful sitting at that table.
You know, Michael, you did a really nice job of laying that out. I mean, you dealt with that back injury in college, and then you had that hip situation right before the draft, and that caused teams to be a little bit concerned. A lot of guys, though, in your situation, despite who their agent might be, still might have been angry or upset about how it played out. But you told Matt Norlander, quote, "I don't feel entitled to this. All of this is a blessing," end quote. It's a really remarkable attitude to have on a tough night. So where does that come from, and how do you view that night as a blessing?
Honestly, so like I said before, first of all, I think that everything happens for a reason. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. So that hip thing that happened to me, it was at the absolute worst timing because I had another pro day a couple days after that. And, you know, I had been feeling great for a month, working out super hard, like 3 hours a day. And then that happened. And that set me back in the draft. And the way I looked at it is, like, instead of being mad about it, I was just like, maybe that team that I was going to go to really high in the draft wasn't the right situation for me. It wasn't going to develop me right. And I wasn't going to, you know, succeed as I would in a different situation. So that's how I viewed it. And if I slipped to a team that wasn't at the top of the draft, I just thought that, you know, that's where I was supposed to be and that's where I was going to develop best and my career was going to be better suited there. So that's how I viewed it.
Michael Porter Jr., my guest. All right, so Michael, the process has been really interesting. The journey's been really interesting. At this time last year, you were the National Player of the Year in high school. You were headed to Missouri. Then you suffered that back injury, and you end up playing only 3 games in college. Obviously, that's not the way you want things to go this past year, but what did you learn about yourself along the way and over the past year?
I learned a lot. You know, I kind of grew up as a young man. It's hard going through adversity, but, you know, I've been through it now. There was a time in my life where I've said this before, I kind of took the elevator. You know, I was like ranked 25th, I think, in 8th grade. And then I steadily just went up till I'm the #1 player in the country. Never had any problems, never had any, you know, issues. Life was easy. And then I had that adversity. So I think going through that really prepared me for for, you know, stuff later in life. You know, there's going to be adversity in the league, and it really also helped me become solid as who I am as a person and not be able to easily be shaken by that. So it was good for me.
You know, I like that elevator analogy a lot. Do you think maybe, time will tell, but do you think maybe that as tough as that was to go through, you're going to end up being a better player and a better person because of what you had to go through?
No doubt, man. I think it was all part of my plan, and it's like it's definitely different than most guys. You know, I was the wild card of the draft, didn't know where I was going to go, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna be fine, and I'm gonna be better than ever, and you know, it's gonna be all good for me. So,
Michael Porter Jr., my guest. You know, your father, Michael Sr., was an assistant at Missouri. So, what was it like to play for him and have him along with you on this journey?
It was good. My dad was the one that put the ball in my hand at 3 years old, and he's been there with me throughout it all, you know, through the ups and downs. And he's not one that cares about basketball. I mean, he wants me to be as good as I can be, but he cares about me as a person far more. So to have him there with me the whole way has been great.
You know, Michael, you came back at the end of the season and you played 51 minutes in a couple of postseason games. At that time, it seems to me you were not necessarily all the way back. There was a chance that you could even re-injure yourself. The safer move would have been not to play, but you were insistent. You really wanted to. Why was it so important for you to get back out there?
Honestly, it was just for my teammates. You know, we had made the tournament, but we had suffered a lot of injuries. Jordan Barnett was out. He couldn't play because of some stuff that happened on campus. We had a couple other players hurt out for the season. So we only had six players on scholarship going into the tournament. And, you know, I didn't know how much of a difference I would make at that point because, obviously, I was not back at all, feeling great at all. But, you know, I just did it for my teammates, and I wanted to do what I could do to help.
Now, Michael, you and Trey Young are friends, and he took a little bit of heat for that suit on draft night, right? How do you feel about that suit short look that he was rocking?
Nah, I thought it was funny. You know, that's such a Trey thing to do. You know, he swears he's a trendsetter, but no, that's my guy, and it was funny.
Dude, it was really funny, and that seemed like a Trey. I don't know him like you do, but that seemed like a Trey thing to do, man. Hey, look, you can do it, right? As long as you can back it up, you can do it. But, you know, on a serious note, in the 2 weeks before the draft, both of you were getting a lot of attention as to where you might end up. What kind of conversations did the two of you have during that time, and how helpful was it to have somebody that you were tight with going through the same experience that you were going through?
Yeah, it was great. You know, me and Trey are really good friends, and to be able to go through all this together has been awesome. You know, we'd FaceTime talking about what shoe company we were going to sign with, where we wanted to go, you know, what workouts we had coming up, all that kind of stuff we talked about. So, he's one of my best friends, and it's cool going through this with him. And I think that we both landed in great situations for us.
Hey, Mike, let me finally ask you this. Since you and I just spent a few minutes talking to each other, I think I can really pose this question, and you'll understand where I'm coming from, or others would. Before the draft, you were on with my guy, D.A., and you were asked about the players that you get compared to, and you said KD and the Greek Freak, and then people ran with it like you were saying that you think you are KD or the Freak and that you've got this huge ego. I'm very clearly talking to you right now. I could see that's not where you were going. But the question people were asking was to get who you thought you might be compared to. Was there a party that was thinking, now, wait a minute, that's not what I said, but if I'm going to compare myself or model my game after somebody, why wouldn't I want it to be two of the best in the game in KD and the Freak?
Man, that's exactly how I was thinking about it. Like, that, I mean, the question was, who do other people compare you to? And I said, you know, other people compare me to KD, you know, Tracy McGrady, sometimes some of the Greek Freak. I know by no means was trying to say I'm at that level yet. You know, I can't skip steps, and I'm going to work hard to eventually be better than all those guys. But, you know, I'm not there yet. And, you know, the media kind of took that and ran with it, but it's all good. People will understand that's not me. I'm not an arrogant kid the more I'm in front of the camera and everything. So,
okay, you know what's tough about that, Michael, is it's like I want to say lesson learned, but at the same time, that's not what you were saying. I would hate for athletes to stop saying anything at all because they're afraid that it's going to get twisted or misconstrued or they're going to have to double back. I mean, it was a really innocuous kind of innocent answer, right? I mean, are you going to change the way? Was that lesson learned for you, or are you just going to keep doing what you're doing?
In a way, it was a lesson learned just because with the media, I always try to be super friendly and
right, like
answer all their questions thoroughly. But after that, you know, there was a part of me that was like, man, like I'm just going to be short and concise and not even like go there with media anymore and not, you know, give full answers. But then I just kind of thought, you know, I'm going to just be careful with what I say, make sure people understand where I'm coming from, and try to be as humble as possible.
You know, it's a good answer. Michael, listen, as a member of the media, I would hate to hear going forward, I'm just going to be really short, and that way I don't get burned. But if I were you and I were in your position, I could see where you might feel that way.
Right, right.
You got it. Michael Porter Jr., my guest. Michael, listen, great to have you on the show. Really appreciate the conversation. Really nice to have you. Hope we can do it again soon. Nice job.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You have a great day. Michael Porter Jr., that's a really humble young guy. And that's tough. You know, again, he was projected as the number one pick overall, National Player of the Year coming out of high school. There was some who thought that if he could jump right from high school to the NBA, he still would have gone first overall. Gets to Missouri, immediately gets hurt, has back surgery, has to deal with that. Comes back at the end of the year, tries to play through a few postseason games, and then right before the process itself, injures his hip before a few pro days. And then on draft night, when he was projected to go number one overall, ends up dropping down to number 14. Not an easy thing to see guys going ahead of him. But then, as he points out after the fact, was, look, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe had I gone higher, I would not end up in a situation that's as good as the one that I ended up in. Sure, it cost me some money. Sure, it was tough to endure. Sure, it was stressful. But in the end, it might be the best thing of all. I might have ended up in the best situation.